Hey, this is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to episode 230 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast. And this one's a really cool one. It's with Blaine Hunter from Porky Butts Barbecue in Omaha, Nebraska. Yes, Omaha, Nebraska. There is a great barbecue option, and Blaine has put it out. And surprisingly, the pandemic has not really affected their day-to-day business. Actually, their to-go and curbside business is super strong, and they're actually going to be working on different ways to configure their operation so that they could even do more of that. But there is indoor seating, and the food, from what I've seen and from what I've heard, I was keyed into this because of Ryan Cooper, who is at BBQ Tourist and also part of the Smoke Sheet, which is a barbecue newsletter. He keyed me into him. He went to a bunch of times, and I saw these massive platters, and I saw these sandwiches, and everything that Blaine does is super creative. He comes from a culinary background. We go into his history. He was born in Texas. He lived for a good part of his life outside of Galveston. And then he went to culinary school back east and then ended up back in Wisconsin and then from there to Nebraska. But he went to culinary school. He has a tendency to be extremely creative with his dishes. He has a turkey sandwich that uses blueberry bread, among other things, but just that just stood out during that interview, and I couldn't believe that somebody that hadn't thought of that combination, and that combination sounds really great. Another reason why he's extremely creative and why he is so into barbecue is because of the competition side. He's won over 130 competitions, 85 top 10 finishes, 22 grand championships in 9 different states, 7 reserve grand championships. He's won all the major ones. He has the acumen and he has the desire and he works hard, and they're only closed on Mondays. I'll put their hours below so that way you know. But it definitely is a place to stop. They're on the eastern side of Nebraska. Make sure you do check them out. I know you're really going to love this. And the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast and YouTube show is brought to you by Treaty Oak Distilling. They're available at treatyoakdistilling.com, as well as you can go to their property. They were open Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. They might be open additional days. Check their social media. On their property, you can try their bourbon, their rum, their rye, their gin, a bunch of cocktail things that they make now. They also have draft cocktails. They have a restaurant, Alice's Restaurant, barbecue, live fire. Great people, great product. I'm always happy to be associated with them. Try them at treatyoakdistilling.com. And if you're digging these, please subscribe. That way you don't miss out. Hit the subscribe button, the bell. I guess the bell notifies you if there's a new episode. I put at least 2 to 3 of these out per week, so that way you get notified that I have a new one out, and they are with exceptional people. And I have a website at kevinsbbqjoints.com. Links to all the podcasts, all the YouTube stuff, original content, breaking news, stories about the people in barbecue that I love. I have a new website coming out, so check all my social media, which is at Kevin's BBQ Joints, or the website or anything to see when that is coming out. It's sometime in September. It's going to be a great tool. You're going to love it. But at the end, stay safe. Support your local barbecue joint. Buy a gift card. Buy some food. A lot of them ship nationwide via Gold Belly or through themselves. Buy some merch. Buy some sauce. Or better yet, if there's a local spot you like, visit them. Get takeout. That way, all of us together can help them survive. Have a great week.
Good morning, Blaine. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. Just another day at the barbecue restaurant.
What days of the week? I want to jump to your history, but what days of the week are you open right now?
We're open Tuesday through Sundays. We're 11 to 8 Tuesday through Thursday, 11 to 9 on Friday and Saturday, and then we're running 11 to 7-ish on Sunday or whenever we sell out each day.
Are you open those days till that final time? Even if you like, do you have something that you could sell people at 7 o'clock?
No, we're actually, we go to sold out. I mean, there's days we've sold out pretty early. Sundays is a challenge for us because we run pretty hard on the weekends and we have limited space on Sunday because I usually do beef ribs and those monsters take up most of my smoker.
Yeah. Oh, I can imagine. They,
our beef ribs haven't made it to opening yet. We sell out before we get the line wraps around the building. And
oh, really?
We go out and we do we talk to each customer what they want, and that's we know smart. How many we have. And then that way we don't let anybody down that waits an hour and a half in line.
How long have you guys been open?
We've been open 9 months.
9 months.
And really the only time we get lines are holidays and weekends. We'll occasionally get 2 or 3 people in line. They know that we have quite a bit. And with COVID, you can call in advance and schedule pickups. So
you can
dictate. So we don't get too many lines, but when the beef ribs, it's first come, first serve. The beef ribs just drive so much business, and when I can only make so many, and it's they're gone right away. We get guys at 9:30 in the morning lining up around the building trying to get beef ribs.
A beef rib is a very special thing. It's if you have it, if someone's watching this that hasn't had one, which I don't know if there is someone like that, it's so delicious. It's so
yeah absolutely
meaty.
And the thing, we don't have them around here very often in Nebraska. So, I mean, it's a special.
That's true.
Event when we do have them. So it draws the attention.
Did you grow up in Nebraska?
I grew up in Texas.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I remember reading something about that. Okay. Where did you grow up in Texas?
So I was born in Houston, lived there till I was 12, and then we moved down to Crystal Beach, right across the ferry from Galveston.
Okay. What was it like in Crystal Beach? Because in Galveston, I see pictures and I've seen like HDTV makeover shows there. But what is it like living there?
Crystal Beach was great, man. It was a small community. I mean, it's a tourism-based community. So in the summertime, it's the greatest place on earth to live because you meet so many new people and you're always, you know, there's an adventure every day. But in the wintertime, it's just the locals. So it's a little low-key and a slower pace. But it's nice. I enjoyed the beach. There's some people that don't enjoy it, but I enjoyed it because it's just a little slower pace of life.
Oh, yeah. No, I lived in Ventura, kind of near the ocean, and it's just, yeah, everyone's just like a notch less stressed.
Yeah, exactly.
Or six notches. It's definitely, yeah.
And we grew up, my dad was he loved fishing and loved grilling. So did a lot of fishing, a lot of crabbing. It was two or three times a week we'd be out fishing and crabbing. And it was, there's no way better to live than for fresh seafood. Oh,
that sounds like the ideal lifestyle.
Dream. 6 days a week. Yeah, I could live off that.
Oh, and crabbing too. Like that's something I've only thought about. I'm from California. We don't do that here. And looking for clamming or crabbing, like that just sounds so interesting and different. And actually foraging for your own food is a wonderful thing too.
It's a wonderful thing. And it's the most natural way to eat. And it's, you know, when you eat, you just enjoy it more when you took the time out and spent a couple of days crabbing and catching them and cleaning them and then cooking them.
Wow. And that's great knowledge to have too, just in general in life, to have that ability to actually clean crab and do it properly and eat and cook it properly and not overcook. How did you get into barbecue? Were you into barbecue Houston? You were too young to really eat a lot, right?
So when growing up, my father built, him and his buddies built, you know, the typical Texas style offset pit, which I still have one today. I have a 20-foot 750-gallon stainless steel offset pit that my dad built in 1981.
Oh, that's so nice.
Two of his buddies, and it's all stainless steel. It's bad. It's bad to the bone. But so my dad did a few competitions, but a lot of charity work in Texas. He would, you know, like my little league association, he would cook for the barbecue every year, and he would he'd travel around and do chili cook-offs in Texas, and I got into barbecue that way. You know, helping him with fires and just helping him with meat, and you know, just. Basically down there it's chicken and brisket, so we did a lot of brisket. And we started probably 5-6 years old. We were staying overnight tending fire for 18 hours on end.
This is in your blood.
I've been doing it my whole life, and my brother and I took those pits and we've cooked on them. I mean every single year of my life, just have always enjoyed cooking. And then I went off to culinary school, and after that it was just the rest is history, I guess.
Where was culinary school?
So I started out on the East Coast in Rhode Island at Johnson & Wales. Due to funding, I had to move back to Wisconsin and went to a tech school where I met my wife, and so I was closer to her. And then,
but did your family move to Wisconsin? Is that
so? My brother was working for a company in Wisconsin, and I went up there in my senior year spring break, and he made it seem like the greatest place on earth. And we had fun. And you know, he's 7 years older than me, and we didn't spend a lot of time together. So that summer was real fun spending it with him. And he convinced me. I originally moved to Wisconsin to go to college, and then. On a whim, I said, you know, I'm ready for culinary school. Applied at Johnson & Wales, got accepted, went out there for basically a year, and then came back to Wisconsin just because of, you know, Johnson & Wales is ridiculously expensive.
So expensive.
Great school, but it's culinary school is, they're so overpriced.
No, I have a friend who went to a culinary school that it's not CIA, but it was somewhere in Los Angeles, and I think he still is paying that off, and it was 30, 40 grand just for like a small school out here.
Oh, and you know, when I was going to Johnson & Wales, I mean, between everything, I mean, my number was big, and I showed it to my brother who went to Princeton, and he's like, you're paying almost as much as I did to go to Princeton and go to culinary school. And he goes, nothing against the education, but there's a little difference between culinary school and Princeton.
Yeah, I wonder why. Like, I've never had this discussion with somebody on this or anywhere. I wonder why culinary school is so expensive. I know that it's important for a lot of people. A lot of people, they go the other route and they start.
Yeah.
But it's amazingly expensive.
It's crazy. I mean, I'm sure it's a lot of the equipment and a lot of the, I'm sure the insurance is ridiculous and there's a lot to it and safety. I mean, because a lot of times you're feeding the public and you get some of your kid who doesn't take the right safety precautions and you make half the city sick. It could get ugly quick.
And
they're all private. So that makes it. Makes them a little more expensive as well.
That's true. That is true. So then in Wisconsin, how is this path going towards, did you and your brother do competitions when you moved to Wisconsin?
No, when I moved to Wisconsin, I was just barbecuing. There's not a lot of barbecue up in Wisconsin. I'd grill every now and then and did some whole hogs and things like that, but never got into the barbecue in Wisconsin. It wasn't until I made it to Nebraska and I had a good friend that kind of drove me. And what drove me from Wisconsin to Nebraska was a job for a company here in town as a corporate chef.
Oh wow. Okay.
So I took that job, came here, and then it was quite a ways. I mean, it was 12 years into living in Wisconsin that I had a friend reach out to me that was into competition barbecue and lost his teammates, and he knew I had a bunch of pits and he knew I smoked all the time, and he said, let's give her a shot. And it took him like 6 months to convince me, and then once he did, I got the bug, and 100 and some contests later, after 6 years, here I am.
That's amazing. And when you get that bug, like, are you checking the calendar like a year in advance, looking for everything? Like, cause it's, and I know that there's always the big ones, but it becomes an obsession, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I was hooked after the first contest. The first contest I went to, I think we got 21st out of 35 teams, no calls. And, you know, it took him 6 months to get me to do that contest. It took me 6 days to sign up for the next one. So it was just more a competitive thing in my blood. And, you know, I don't like to fail. Yeah. And I didn't succeed. I mean, I didn't do that bad our first contest. And I told him, I said, we're going next weekend. So we packed up everything and drove over to 5 hours over to the middle of Iowa to compete. And we got our first call, and that was kind of the, once you hear your name once, it's over.
What is that like? I have no idea. And I haven't, the competition side, I'm friends with so many different people, and I just talked to Tuffy like last week, and I don't know that side as well. The camaraderie, was that built in at the beginning too for you?
Yeah. I mean, it's the competitive nature in me that kind of drove me.
Okay.
But I mean, once you get that first call, it's like an adrenaline rush, and you just want to get, you just want to grow on it and get better and better and better until you finally win that contest. Yeah, no, as the camaraderie, it's like a big family reunion every weekend. I mean, I've been off for 13 months, and this weekend I showed up, and you would have thought I was never gone. It was just nice to see everybody and talk.
I was going to ask, how weird was that to be back? And is this the first competition that was open, or are there other ones?
No, they've had a few. It's been pretty limited. That's why in the middle of Rodney, Iowa, in the middle of nowhere, Iowa, had 54 teams from all over the United States. I mean, you had teams from Texas and St. Louis, Michigan. They were from all over, North Dakota, South Dakota. But it was good to see everybody and get out there and compete again.
Yeah, because all the major ones have all either they were postponed and then now canceled for the year.
I mean, I think really the only thing left is the Royal and the KCBS invite, which is, who knows if they'll even happen.
Yeah, they're still on there. Yeah.
Yeah. Who knows? They say they're going to happen, but I just can't imagine they're going to put that many people in a big giant facility together.
Yeah. The outdoor nature of it to me seems a little safer than if it was something indoors, but still people are so in the close proximity to people. That's,
I don't think it's as much the contest, cause we can socially distance easily.
Yeah.
It's the judging. The judging is where you get, cause you got to put, you got 360 teams, you got 360 judges, and you got to put them in one room tight. And there's really no way to socially distance in that judging area.
Oh yeah. Without a doubt. Now is this doing the competitions? I know it's passion, but is there a way to make a living just doing competitions?
I mean, there's a way to make a living off of like teaching classes and selling rubs and sauces, but truly make a living off of competitions, unless you have some really high end sponsors, it would be really tough. I mean, in 2016, I was probably the winningest guy in barbecue that year, and it's safe to say that I could not have supported anybody on what I made. I mean, after your expenses, because the expenses are just so high in competition barbecue.
And they're not, like, unless you have a, like, do most people have sponsors for meat? I know you have a Snake River farm a hat on, but like, do people, does that is that usually something that people do? I'm sorry, I'm so like naive and green to this, but I would assume I assume people have sponsored for meat because that's an expensive component.
Yeah, no, that's probably the most expensive part of it is the meat, and especially the beef. Yeah, a lot of people do, they do partner up with meat companies and get sponsorships, and that helps a ton. You know, after 17, I decided stuck with one meat because sometimes, you know, with seasonality and availability, sometimes the meat changes, and I like to jump around. The only thing that I consistently use is Snake River Farms. Mm-hmm. So on like my pork and chicken, I keep it open, so I don't tie myself to one person.
That makes sense. So in the back
until I gotta buy it, then it doesn't make sense.
yeah, then you're like, oh yeah.
Oh God, I wish I had a sponsor.
Yeah. it's like that two things on either shoulder. Now, are you when did you think about opening a restaurant? Was that something in the back of your mind like 10 years ago or?
Yeah, so like when I got out of culinary school, all I wanted to do was open a restaurant. And back then I had no money and I really didn't know what I wanted to do. I knew I wanted to open some type of live fire cooking restaurant that would, you know, that kind of was fun to operate. But as I got into the corporate culinary world, I realized, man, Monday through Friday, no weekends, no holidays is really nice.
Yeah, I know. It's a lifestyle.
And it's a guaranteed paycheck and you got benefits and I have a, you know, wife and kids. So it was the lifestyle really was easy to take.
Yeah.
You know, after the barbecue and the competing, and then I have a good friend, Darren Worth, over in Iowa that I talk to quite a bit. He has a very successful barbecue restaurant. Mm-hmm. And I kind of, my brother, he was one of the driving forces that behind the going and because he just wanted everyone to try my food.
Yeah.
It started as we were just going to do some catering and classes, and then I started looking at buildings and properties, and I'm like, if we're going to do this, we might as well do it. And here we are 9 months later. And
when did you find that location?
I found it. It was I closed on it March 22nd of last year.
Okay.
So and it I wasn't really looking. There was just it happened to be an old pizza place that came available. And I half jokingly put the offer in on it, and I told my brother I'm going to put an offer in. He's like, sounds good. I lowballed the offer, and they sent me 24 hours later and says, it's yours. And I'm like, oh God, what do we do now?
So did you know, like, how did you do the build out and everything? Is that something that you had friends that had done it before or just winged it?
Yeah, no, I mean, it was a lot of input from my, I have, you know, Joe from Slaps in Kansas City and Darren from Iowa. And then I know, you know, Travis Clark and just talking to guys in the industry and talking to guys how they do their setup. And then I did a big tour of Texas and Kansas and kind of looked at all the different, you know, do we do counter service? Do we do sit down? Do we do, you know, walk through line almost? And it just kind of this we thought for Nebraska, because Nebraskans are pretty picky and it's a tough market to break into in the barbecue world. So we had to be, I want to get them in, get them out quick. And I want it to be a fun atmosphere and just more of a laid back, casual counter service style. So
it is counter service.
It's counter service. Yeah. We it's a counter service. We, you come up, you order, then we bring food to you.
Okay.
So we get them in, get them out pretty quick. It's a big restaurant though. I mean, it's 5,600 square foot. So we got a lot of seating for a counter service.
Do you have indoor and outdoor or is it just indoor?
We don't have outdoor currently. I'm working on it, but permitting on outdoor patios in Nebraska right now with COVID is, it's like you could build a building quicker, I think.
You think like at this time, they'd be like, yeah, do whatever you want outside. Like
it's like,
shut the roads down, just put tables out and umbrellas. I was thinking like LA, like you would think they would just jump through every hoop to make it so that you could just not be indoors. But
yeah. And the other thing too is it's the big pushback is the liquor license, you know, cause they're so strict on how the liquor license works. But right now they let me sell liquor right out the front door to go containers, but they're worried about me controlling it on my patio that's enclosed with the fence.
Insane. How crazy is that?
That's America.
Yeah, exactly. That's what makes it such a wonderful place.
You know, I can send a to-go container of whiskey right out the front door, but.
Oh, that's hilarious. So you have beer and wine too?
We have a full liquor license. We serve pre-mixed cocktails in a glass, so in a can, and then we have beer and wine.
That's cool. But, that's a nice offering. That's amazing to have that.
Yeah, but we have full liquor license if we do any catering or any special events. We have a party room here, so occasionally we host full service bar events.
Oh, that's nice. And when COVID started, or like, were you shut down for a little while?
You know, we never shut down. I mean, we shut down the dining room, obviously. But when COVID started, we transitioned. I mean, you know, we got the announcement on a Sunday basically that they were shutting us down, and on Monday we're closed, and I spent all day here with my manager. We kind of put a plan together, got the online platform ready to roll, and had some signs made for curbside pickup. Tuesday morning we opened up curbside pickup, and the first day out, we did more business than we did the week before in that exact same day with dine-in. And I looked there and said, half the employees here, this might be a good thing.
So, wow. That's
amazing. Curbside actually took us a couple of weeks to, you know, get it perfected, because we definitely had some hiccups at the beginning, but everyone was pretty understanding, and it actually, it works well. And we're actually so much that we're going to remodel our restaurant to be able to handle more curbside and more takeout and more delivery.
That's smart. That's really smart. Yeah. I think that's in the end, I think a lot of restaurants are going to at least have that ability, because we don't know what's going to happen, and who knows. And like, if you want to be prepared for 3 years from now, something stupid like this happens again.
For sure. For sure. And I think it was I think the future in the restaurant industry before COVID or without COVID, I think it was going to kind of go towards that more takeout, more delivery, more of that type of service, because the younger generation, it just seems like they're less and less have cars and more Ubering and one delivery.
Yeah, especially with Uber and Lyft. And like, I wonder too, like, I wonder how much that's affected those businesses, those guys. Like, I used to, my apartment complex, see tons of Ubers and Lyft. I rarely see them. And I wonder if like that must be a weird thing to be a driver for those guys.
Yeah, I think they, most of them transition over to the food side so much. It's amazing the people that come through. When we turn that Uber on, it just starts lighting up.
Really?
But Uber's tough, and we had all the delivery services, mm-hmm. but we had to throttle some of them down because they allow future orders, and because of the, you know, with barbecue, you only have X amount of brisket, and when it starts getting low, we have to turn. We can't have future orders, so we can't sell a guy 2 pounds not knowing if we're even going to have 2 pounds at 6 o'clock.
No, without a doubt. Which ones do you use right now?
Well, currently we have just Uber Eats. We were down, and we had DoorDash, Grubhub, and Uber Eats, and then Uber Eats is kind of the one that's been, they've done the best job, and I personally use Grubhub, but they just, they were difficult to deal with on the back end.
Yeah, but. No, that's smart. So Uber Eats, that's good. Okay, so people watching this, they know Uber Eats. I think it's better to have just one. I remember I visited one time to film a place called, I think it's called Spring Street Smokehouse in Los Angeles, and they had like 7 pads. This is back like 3 years ago, and I'm like, what is going on? How do you guys deal with that? That was I think everyone wanted to get on board, but that's smart that you just use one platform. So what do you serve, and you serve by the pound, it sounds like.
Yeah, we don't have it on our board or menu by the pound, but we do sell by the pound. If people ask, we have it. We have a, you know, pretty standard barbecue fare. It's a, you know, brisket, burn-in, sausage. We have 3 different types of sausage, pork, spare ribs. The only thing we don't offer at this moment is chicken, just because I use rotisserie smokers and we're just so packed full. We sell so many ribs that I can never get chicken on in time to time it properly. We do, when we're available, I always have wings ready to roll. So we do wings probably 2 or 3 times a week just to have them. But when we put wings on, we usually do 100 pounds and they sell like in half an hour. It's crazy.
So awesome. That's
the wings are insane here. I mean, it's wings and our turkey. Everyone loves our turkey. We sell a lot of turkey.
Wow. And for people that haven't had turkey at a barbecue spot, when people have turkey on their menu, generally, it's a nice change of pace from something that's so rich like brisket or.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's such a mildly smoked, you know, it's just perfect. And ours is really good. And it was just almost an accident why I put it on the menu.
Oh, really?
So I had a buddy that his aunt passed away right before I opened, and I was getting samples of meat, and these people gave me all these turkey breasts, and he was looking for something for the service. And I said, dude, I got a bunch of turkey. I'll smoke it up for you. And I smoked it, and he called me the next day and said, dude, what was that turkey? I said, this hickory smoked turkey, you know? And he goes, it was phenomenal. So I got more of that turkey, tested it, and did exactly what I did. And my wife's like, that has to be on the menu. It's so good. And now we have it on the menu, and we have it on a sandwich that is real popular. We have a blueberry bread with Swiss, and it's blueberry a smoked. Bread. Oh, dude, it's fun. The bread is phenomenal.
Oh, you're killing
me. It's one of our our turkey and our tank sandwich are our two most popular sandwiches.
What's the tank sandwich?
The tank sandwich is a jalapeno cornbread with a cheddar cheese sauce, smoked brisket, a spicy barbecue sauce, and jalapeno sausage all in a toasted bun. Yeah, It's legit.
And then the other one has the blueberry.
And the other one is it's a smoked turkey, apple slaw, Swiss cheese on the blueberry bread.
Oh, so, man, that's so interesting.
Both very good. Yeah.
Where are these recipes coming from? Are they coming from your past, or you just?
Yeah, just like stuff.
At three in the morning.
I got a sample of some blueberry bread, and I'm like, oh my god, this is phenomenal! It has to be on my menu. And I started looking at things like, you know, do I do a pulled pork sandwich with it? And then we tested with that turkey, and my wife just went nuts for it. And she's like, yeah, that's got to go.
That's and it kind of makes sense, you know, kind of like the Thanksgiving. Even blueberry has a different flavor than cranberry, but it's just that kind of that sweet.
Yep, for sure. Yeah.
Oh, that's
and a it just cuts thing. that you know that salty smoke flavor. That just it's perfect for it.
Oh, you're the only. You've got to be the only place you're doing that. That's awesome. Can you send me a photo of that? I would love to.
Yeah, for sure.
Or photos of all this stuff. We'll kind of. I'll put it together in part of that, and I do a companion blog piece with this.
Okay. Yeah, no, we do a lot of fun stuff. I mean, we're not your typical barbecue restaurant. I mean, on leap year, I did a, we sold it as it's only going to be around every, you know, you can only order every 4 years, but I did frog hoppers. So we did a hickory smoked frog legs.
Oh, that's
awesome. I mean, we do fun stuff that's a little different than everyone else in barbecue world. And that's just probably my culinary background coming out.
Yeah, it sounds like it. And then and frog legs too. Yeah, that's another thing. I bet there's like a French restaurant having like frog legs, like in a French barbecue spot. But I think that now, so with the menu, you said that there's like by the pound if you want it. But so then are you buying trays? Is that, or how is that? Or
yeah, so we have a one meat, two meat, three meat platter. And then we have like a family platter, which is two of our meats and a half rack of ribs. And then we have our porky platter, which is a third pound of all our meats and a full rack of ribs, which is probably our most popular during COVID. It's been our most popular thing on our menu because the families just love. They, you know, it feeds 4 to 6 people and they can come in and they're just done with one order.
So is that what Ryan got the last time he came in?
Yeah, he usually gets the first time he came in, he was getting the porky, and now he's kind of – the porky's got a lot of meat. I mean, it takes a lot of people.
He's a village.
So the last time, I think he got the family platter, which is two meats and half rack of ribs.
Okay, yeah. And Ryan Cooper, it's just for people that don't know, the barbecue tourist and the smoke sheet, just if you're listening and you don't know who Ryan is, I'm speaking. Yeah. I always bring up people's names, and I'm like, do they know who I'm talking about?
Yeah. No, Ryan's dad is a huge fan of our ribs, so he's – every time they come in, they're buying multiple racks of ribs and letting him just go to town.
Well, that's awesome. So for 9 months, then you feel pretty confident then that this is obviously it's working out. People are starting are really coming and enjoying it, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we have a I mean, it was right out of the gate. It was pretty busy, and it started to slow down a little bit. And then I hired a marketing firm that does my social media. And since that social media, he's taken over. It's just, I mean, business has grown exponentially. That's it's been absolutely crazy. Yeah. And, I can tell, cause I mean, when we post promotions and different things, you can just see that, you know, the sales go up in each item. So it's been fun. I mean, I've enjoyed every minute of it.
And Porky Butts, is that who came up with that name?
So the gentleman that got me into barbecue, the guy that I said asked for 6 months to get me, he actually was Mr. Porky Butts. He started it. He was with some other guys. They didn't see eye to eye. And so he brought me onto the team. And then a year and a half into it, I told him I was going to go start my own team and take it serious. And he basically says, you can have the name, you can have everything, just you can never kick me off the team. So to this day, he's still one of my really good friends. And I talk to him weekly. And he's the one to come up with the name and pass it on to me.
Does he come to the restaurant?
He does, yeah. He comes in quite a bit. He's a character. He has his own. The ironic thing is, he has his own barbecue team now, and it's called Brick Street Tavern. Yeah, named after his bar. So I was like, he stopped cooking with me because of kids, and then a year later, he's like, I'm gonna cook, and he starts his own team. I'm like, dude, you could have cooked with me this whole time. Of course. You bailed on me, and now you got your own team competing against me.
People are very funny. Where are you located, and what are you like? Because on the map, like people, Nebraska. Everyone knows of Nebraska, but most people
they know the name.
They just can't point to it on a map. They're like, is that Colorado? Like,
yeah. So yeah. Nebraska.
So where are you? You're in the United States, correct?
Yeah, we are in the United States. We're sandwiched right between Iowa, South Dakota, Kansas, and Colorado, okay. Wyoming. So we are we're on the far eastern side of Nebraska, okay. Right on the border of Iowa. Okay. And we have I'd say we're dead center of the state pretty much. We're on the northwestern corner of Omaha, which is a fairly big city. I mean, there's 400,000 people here, and I think the metro is a million. Okay. So, I mean, there's quite a few people here, and we're in the northwest corner of Omaha. It's easy to find.
Are most of your customers from Omaha?
Yeah, I mean, we have some people traveling. We have a lot of people coming up from Kansas and a lot from South Dakota. And then, we have people coming over from Iowa since we're right on the border. But, we have a couple that comes from Vermilion, South Dakota every other week and eats there, and it's neat to see.
How long is that drive?
It's probably a couple hours.
Not bad.
So, yeah.
Yeah. What's the furthest you would drive for barbecue?
Well, I drive down to Texas quite a bit and eat it, so that's probably the furthest. Yeah. I mean, I love going to – I love Killian's down in Pearland.
How long would it take you to get there from where you are?
16 hours.
16 hours.
That's a long ways to get some brisket. And the people in Texas will probably shoot me, but one of my favorite barbecue places is Little Miss down Phoenix.
In Phoenix, yeah.
You been there?
I haven't. I was supposed to go like the week before COVID, and I'm taking care of my mom. Like, my mom had double knee replacement and shoulder replacement. Like, I've been taking care of her while she's recovered, and so I can't really leave her for a long period of time. But I've talked to Scott a bunch of times. I have an interview with Scott, and I wanted to check out his new location. I had set up to film at both locations and see his pits and see his operation making pits. And he's a stand up guy, and he looks like his barbecue looks amazing.
Oh my God. His pastrami is might be the best barbecue meat that I've ever eaten in my life. It's so good, dude. I mean, I remember 2 years ago, 3 years ago, the year I won team of the year, I was down there eating, and he was sitting with me and we're talking, and I said, so what rub are you putting on there? Cause it's just a perfect balance of pepper and you can taste some coriander and things there. And he goes, well, I put a secret ingredient in there, and I'm like, I'm thinking he's getting ready to tell me. He said, it's unicorn dust. And I'm like, I was like, I doesn't thought that, I had that, that holy seems grail. Like,
doesn't like, that you, seem like him? That's exactly how he would.
But no, he does a phenomenal job, and it's just a cool place to go eat.
Yeah. Have you been to his new location?
I have not been in the new location. So, I don't know. I like the old one, so I don't know if I'd ever cheat on the old place.
That's interesting. But it's interesting, too, because it is hot there, and people line up. They really line up there. I'm sure it's a little different now. Maybe they have the space. I don't know. I think Arizona's in trouble like we are here. But it's definitely – it's nice to see that it works in other places other than Texas.
Yeah, yeah.
And seems like
we originally thought, yeah, no, that'd be fun to do something like that, a little barbecue stand, but we'd be good for about 3 months in Nebraska because the rest of the time, I don't think you can get anybody to stand outside in December and January.
What is that like? Is that just hellacious?
Yeah, it's pretty. I mean, Nebraska is, you know, I've lived in Wisconsin where it's colder and I've lived in Texas where it's hotter and Nebraska gets everything. I mean, you'll get humidity, you'll get 115 degree temperatures, you'll get negative 20 degrees, you know, foot of snow. It's the craziest place I ever live. I mean, it can be 80 degrees one day and 30 the next.
But the quality of life is nice, right?
I love here. I mean, I wouldn't trade Nebraska for anything. I mean, it's just, they're great people, and it's just it's a safe place to raise a family, and there's just enough arts and activities and outdoor space, and it's spread out. I mean, it's just a great place. I love it.
Yeah, no, I've heard amazing things, and also too, relatively, like the home prices aren't as crazy as they are around the rest of the country.
Yeah, I mean, the home prices are pretty fair here. Taxes are getting up there, and they're climbing pretty quickly here, which is, you know, for what you get. I mean, it's one thing if you're living in, you know, California, where you're gonna get some amenities, but here it's like we don't have that many roads. Why is the taxes so expensive? But
For the guy that needs to check the liquor license for outdoor seating. That's what
I know. That's his salary. It's ridiculous.
This is so great. So, do you think? Do you plan on doing other competitions this year, or is that going to be?
I'm signed up for Mayetta, Kansas, on the 10th and 11th.
Okay.
I'm gonna try and do one a month leading into the Royal, because I mean, at the end of the day, the Royal is the most important. I mean, the Royal Open is what the one I want to win. I always want to win.
And you've had a lot of success.
Yeah, we won in 2017. Yeah, we won the brisket category, tied for first in the pork category, and won the overall.
How did that feel?
It was pretty amazing. I mean, It wasn't as dramatic because we took, you know, usually a guy that wins the Open, he'll win one or two categories, or he'll have one or two calls. We had a 14th place in ribs and tied for first in pork and won first in brisket. So it was, we kind of knew we won it at that point. I mean, we didn't know.
Yeah, you would think so. Right?
A,
yeah.
We had a really good feeling that we won it. So it wasn't as dramatic, but I mean, it's still, I mean, there's no better feeling. And the biggest thing is my dad cooked the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo growing up, and winning the Open qualifies you for the Houston Livestock Show. Oh, and that morning I called my dad and I said, hey, we're going back to Houston today. I'm winning. And I just, you know, just half-assed joking when I told him that. And there, we won it. And he couldn't believe it and I couldn't believe it. And we went back to Houston, which was fun.
How, is your dad's still with us, right?
Yeah, he's still with us. That's great. He's my biggest fan on social media. He's the first guy to every single post we put out there. He's the first guy to comment. Best pitmaster in the country. Best cook in the country every time.
Oh, that's so nice. Yeah, my dad's been, it'll be 11 years in October, and it definitely would be fun for him to see a lot of the stuff that's going on now. But also too, it's probably, this would be a very annoying time to have a father, like, to be getting, like, just with the climate of, like, everything going on in the world. I'd be here for him every 20 minutes.
My dad's he's a character, that's for sure. You know, Vietnam vet, grew up in Alabama. He's a Southern boy, true and true. So he likes the barbecue, and he just, you know, he wants America to get back to America because he's a hardworking guy that defended this country. Yeah. So I can
understand. It makes all the sense in the world. Well, tell him thank you for his service. That's
I will do that.
A big deal to me, and I'm sure to a lot of people listening. And yep. I don't think it's said, but I don't know if it's always said with, you know, the gusto that it should be. And it's wow, amazing. Well, I thank you too for doing what you're doing and for staying in business and for, you know, putting together something in Nebraska. That's nice to have that option there. That's amazing.
Yeah, we're trying to just give them good American barbecue, because we don't really, you know, gravitate towards Texas style or, you know, Carolinas or Kansas. We're trying to put Nebraska barbecue, as I tell them. It's just a mix up of everything and what we think is the best.
Well, nice. Well, I've only heard good things, not just from Ryan, but from other people. So thank you for taking the time to do this. And I can't wait to visit once the life turns a little more normal. And maybe we could also meet sometime at Little Miss. That'd be fun.
That sounds good, man. I'm always up for Little Miss.
Excellent. Well, and if I do go there without you, I'll send you photos.
Yeah, please do. If you go on Thursday, don't send me pictures at Pastrami.
I will. No. Yeah, make sure I'll send it to Ryan, then Ryan can send it to you.
Perfect.
Well, take care. Have a great week and stay safe. Thank
you. Take care. You have a great day.
I appreciate it.